Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, all. Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm looking over an old notebook of mine for some ideas for the show this evening. I'm going to share a few of those with you, but first, one of the things I found in the notebook is the programming lineup for withinsightsradio.com. I think it's withinsights.com channel of blogtalkradio.com. I didn't have those notes on there. I remember that. But, I like to report the rest of the programming schedule for With Insights. Just a kind of a nice thing for me to do, I think. The problem is I never have notes handy to tell me exactly what the various shows are called. So I was in saying sort of an alt. I don't think I generally don't accurately report the titles of my compatriot shows, and that's it bothers me. You know, it just bothers me. So I'm very grateful to have these notes with me here today. I'll just do that right now. I won't have to worry about forgetting it later. Mondays at 6 p.m. You got your Holistic Forum and Intuitive Readings live with Iggy Garcia and Rosa Bell. And Iggy Garcia is sort of the master shaman around here. Here on my notes, I see there's another show on Monday night that we used to have that isn't on anymore, so don't go looking for it. Probably in the archives somewhere, but it was called Psychics in the City, and I understand it was a very well-received show. A lot of people liked it. They got a lot of traffic. But, you know, the way these things happen, you know, the psychics in the city got a little messed up, and I think everybody's still friends, but there's no show anymore, and that's kind of a shame. If these things happen, it just goes to show that the shamanism is not all love and light. Sometimes other things do get involved, and we have to deal with them, and our lives can change as a result. Moving back into shows that are still with us, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with Jenny Seek. And that's the show, not the show, but the title that has deviled me the most. I just can't seem to remember that title no matter what I do. And I don't have to remember because I have it written down. It's the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour again with Jenny Seek. Jenny's a sweetheart. Please listen to her show. Wednesdays, now I have to remember this one because it's new. I don't have it on these notes. Wednesdays at noon is the Entrepreneurial Excellence, I believe it's Entrepreneurial Excellence Hour. I think everybody does an hour except me. I do the half hour. I don't know what I would talk about for an hour. I've been on Iggy's show before, and it's an hour. It's a long time. It's a long time. I don't really know. I think it's an hour, though. Wednesdays at noon with Heather Tapia. Entrepreneurial excellence. Shamanism meets capitalism. Fun stuff. And that brings you to Friday Night at Midnight. And that's me, Mud Toe Sasquatch, here with you on Mud Toe at Midnight. Once again, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to communicate with the show, you can tweet me on Twitter or tweet me on Twitter or something. That's Mud Toe Sasquatch. You put the ampersand to reach me. And then it's MUD. TOESASQUATCH. You can also write me on Gmail. Same thing, mudtoesasquatch@gmail. There is no Facebook page anymore. The Facebook page is now deceased, and that was by my choice. I found, you know, for a number of reasons. The main thing being I was just spending too much time on it. Kind of been more productively placed somewhere else, I think. And then, you know, I also didn't particularly care for them using my name, both my shamanic name and my birth name, to advertise products. Mudtoe likes this. Try this. Mudtoe likes this. Now I understand Blog Talk Radio does something sort of similar to that. If you go on the show archive, you have to watch a commercial before you can listen to my show. But that doesn't seem to bother me so much. I mean, that's something sort of directly related to supporting Blog Talk Radio, which is the platform on which we do all these radio shows. So it's not something, you know, Facebook is kind of randomly about randomly. I'm sure it's targeted in a lot of different ways, but it's not accessible to me, I don't think, as much on Facebook where my name is being used and why. Unless Blog Talk is doing something behind my back that I don't know about, which is entirely possible. But I've looked at the commercials and I haven't seen anything. I totally object. Maybe not thrilled about the idea of having a commercial attached to my name, but I don't think anybody's, so far as I know, Blog Talk has tried to sell anything that I would completely object to. So that I'll live with, but Facebook is no more. So if you're used to contacting me on Facebook, you will need to switch to either Twitter or Gmail. Those are the best ways. There's also, if I'm going to say this, I'm going to actually have to start checking it. So maybe I should, I guess the vast majority of the people who listen to the show listen to it on the archive. That's the information that I have. And there is, I guess, a place to leave comments on the archive as well. And I hardly ever look at that. And I need to start, especially since I just mentioned it. But there is a place there for you to leave comments for me, both during the show and after you watch. So I guess now I've just made more work for myself. I'm going to have to look at that and see if anybody's putting comments there. So those are the three ways you can get in touch with me. I should also mention, this is usually mentioned on that nifty thing that I play before the show starts, but don't have that now because it mentioned my Facebook page, and now I have to change it. Not saved to the Facebook page anymore. But one thing I also mentioned on that was that this is part of my work as an adopted practitioner of the Nemenha Native American Church, and as we are in ceremony at this time, and I invite you to participate in ceremony with me. Words of the shaman, the words and actions of the shaman, are protected under federal and international law when they're done as part of the sacred ceremony. So, if you're here trying to bust me for something, I can't imagine what it might be. I think mainly it applies to people who use some kind of far-out things in their ceremonies, things that they would like normally get arrested for if they tried to use them. I think it's more about that. But as I watch the way our political situation is unfolding, I begin to think that those of us who say things and do things that run against the grain may need more and more protection as time goes on. That's one reason I was interested in this, and one reason I add that to the beginning of my show. Okay. So, well, looks like we're about done for tonight. No, we're not. Still got lots of time to go. Just sometimes these housekeeping details do tend to take over. I've got this spiral-bound notebook here. I just pulled out because I needed one not too long ago, and I've been carrying it around with me ever since. I've made some notes in it that I needed, and my notes tend to be rather random and unfocused. So when I come back to them, say, 3 or 4 years later, and this notebook goes back that far, sometimes it's hard for me to put them together with what was actually happening at the time that I made the notes. Here's an example. The note reads, I'm going to read it verbatim, "Chinese zippers on the back of the jacket depend on someone else, as opposed to being able to take care of it yourself." Now, I actually do remember what that refers to. It was a class that I was in a video we were watching. And they showed this classroom in China of small kids, I guess like 8, 9 years old. And they had put them in uniforms, and the uniform included this windbreaker jacket. And they were designed with the zippers on the back. And they said what that was about was so that each child would have to have a partner, and they would depend on that partner to get the jacket off and put it back on at appropriate times. This is to learn to trust each other and not be so focused on the self. Okay? Just thinking of that, I think of American kids in jackets like that. They'd step out of them. They'd rip them. They'd do anything they could to avoid asking someone else to help them get out of the jacket. more of the sort of rugged independence that we teach on this side of the planet. Here's another one. Here's one I can't quite explain quite so well. It's just a series of words, and there is an arrow pointing. Each word has an arrow next to it, to the right of it, pointing towards the next one. And I presume that means that each of these things is meant to lead to the next one. It's control, arrow, delegation, arrow. I'll leave out the arrows. Take the arrows as red. Control, delegation, empowerment, subsidiarily increasing maturity of organization. And that must also have been that same class. It was a class I took in the summer, and it was an education administration class, principals, school people being trained to be school principals. And it was all about how to, you know, how best to run an education organization. And I was sort of there to see how the other half lived. It was interesting. I wouldn't call it a useless exercise. I had some fun. And here, I think this is, okay, so here's the class project we had for that. And I see the names of my three partners and their email addresses. One of the questions we were considering was, is leadership always good? We were looking at something written by Parker Palmer called Divided Living. Parker Palmer has written a lot of good stuff on education. Highly recommend it. Here's another hierarchy, leadership, inquiry, ethics, authenticity. What else is here? A note for another class I must have been taking at the time, email references for final projects to Dr. Marks. I just hope I remember to do that. And the rest of this book, other than the blank pages that I've been writing in recently, was a daily journal I wrote for, there was an acting troupe I was in 3 years ago, and it was about, how do I describe it, we put on a play based on, it was for education for one department or another and their faculty or graduate students, some issue that their college wanted them to explore or think about. And the issue that they chose for this particular class I was in was the effect of the economy on students, how it was affecting their lives, how it might affect their education and so forth. And we came up with this, you know, 10, 15-minute performance. And then, and here's the really interesting part. Once the performance was over, we would answer questions from the audience in character. So we'd have to make up. We wouldn't answer it as ourselves. We would answer it how we thought our character would answer it. And I was typecast as a professor. Not that I've ever been a professor, but I have been a teacher, and I was about 20 years older than everybody else in the class, so I got to be the professor. But maybe I might sneak out a subsidiary role as an angry parent. That didn't happen. I was just a professor, and I was just sort of maybe the ringleader in all of this, which was fine. And as we were developing this and then actually doing it, we were supposed to keep a daily journal. And here is my entry from May 12th, 2009. It was the day we did the final... This isn't what I wanted to read. I wanted to read the one for the first performance. Flipped around. Yeah, okay, here it is. It's May 14th, 2009, the first performance. And I wrote, it's very interesting to me that we got into discussing the actual value of a college education. Been in Jason's dialogue, one of the characters' dialogue the whole time, but we never really considered the answer to his and Ted's, another character, and Ted's questions about what a college education should really be about. For myself, I can say that I'm in college because I like being in college. If I could work it out, I'd never leave. Don't imagine that whatever degree it is that I end up with is going to be my golden ticket to anywhere. Although when I was an undergrad, I did. And I allowed that to be part of Professor Thompson, my character's experience as well. Once more, we churned up a fundamental question underlying the local situation. What is the purpose of a college education and what should it be? And why, if it is vital to success, is a young person expected to mortgage his or her future to pay for it? My own situation is different from most, but But I said a face. I do that all the time. But I faced the very real possibility that I won't live long enough to pay off my student loans. Not real sure what I'm trying to say here, except that I'm amazingly angst-ridden considering the amount of fun I just had doing this. And the instructor's comment is, oh, yes, I understand the worry, which is not really helpful, but I should understand. The instructor had worked with Augusto Boal, who was he worked in Brazil and Peru, someplace else in South America. He'd worked a couple of different places using education as an empowerment tool. And he was supposed to be just teaching people how to read, and that's it. But he was also teaching people how to interact on a social level and how to, what do I mean by that, on a social level. Teaching people to interact with people who were in different social positions and to question the idea that that poverty was an inescapable reality. And obviously he got into a lot of trouble for doing that. In fact, he's one of the people who's banned in Arizona now, Arizona School Camp, because he's a socialist. You can't read anything by Augusto Boal in school in Arizona anymore. But one thing impressed me, because I was planning on making him a central figure in the dissertation I was planning to do at that time. And you know, that idea has changed a couple of times since then. But at that point, Augusto Boal was central to what I was thinking of doing. And this instructor had actually worked with Augusto Boal, so that really... that really impressed me and made me want to be a part of this. And I had a lot of fun. Always fun sort of stepping into that. I hadn't done acting for a while up till that point. And it had been a while. Time to do it. It had been a while before I did it, but since I had done any acting. Since then, I did a show last year. Interesting was a show that I had been trying to put together for many years, and I finally was able to do it at my friend Iggy's restaurant and put together actually a local cast. There's one person from the original production when it started back before I came to my very large city here in the Midwest. Before that, I was working in a somewhat smaller city, not too far from here, at a branch of the large university that I work at now. And I was trying to put this production together then, and it didn't work out. So I got it put together here for a couple of very small but appreciative audiences, but I ended up having to play the lead, which I didn't really want to do. I wanted to direct the show. I didn't want to be in it. But so we couldn't find anybody to do it. The person who was originally going to do it had to back out at the last minute. And so I ended up stepping in, and it was very tiring. I don't think I did as good a job in either of my roles as either director or the lead in the show. I might have done one of those things. The show didn't get done, and I'm glad we were able to bring it to life. It was a piece written by a professor at that branch college, and it had not been produced. So I thought it was good to finally bring that to life. It was about a guy who works with hawks. So it had some sort of Native American shamanistic overtones to it as well. So that was nice. That was very nice. So we've talked that to death. I'm not going to talk about LeBron James. I know that kind of comes out of left field, but that seems to be the topic of discussion today. If you're listening to this on the archive, Thursday night, the Miami Heat and LeBron James won the NBA championship. Today, Friday, the 22nd, all the talk on the media and so forth has been about that. What is his, you know, his place in history? What is his legacy and so forth? And, although I've just spent far more time talking about that than I had intended to. I really don't want to talk about it. I mean, congratulations to LeBron. I bear him no malice. I was angry at him for what had transpired earlier in his career. I think I would like to see him stay with that goofy team he started off with, even though he probably ever was going to win a championship there. Anyone like storybook endings, and we didn't get one. Except we kind of did. I mean, the guy got what he wanted, and you know, it's maybe he did what he had to do. You know, sometimes we accept people moving from place to place to get ahead. Maybe I'm not as crazy about that idea as some people are, but it is accepted in our society that you just pick up and move every once in a while. But you have to, certainly in the profession I've chosen to work near to, the profession of being a professor. As I kind of said in that, or implied in that note that I read, I didn't, you know, to get into this, you know, sort of PhD type program, especially where I'm doing it, you have to sort of say, they ask you, well, what do you want to get out of this? What do you want to do once you're done? And what you say is, well, I wish to be a professor at research one university. I never really wanted that. So now that the PhD thing may very well be over, I'm kind of at a crossroads. And I think where I started this thought was, it's pretty much expected that professors who go, especially, you know, young professors, are going to go someplace where there's not, you know, maybe not quite so much glamour, you know, a small, very small college somewhere, and then work their way up. So, and then you're going to be moving every 3 or 4 years. It's just a fact of life. You know, my original advisor moved. I had two people on my committee, my PhD committee, who are gone now. Fact of life. So where am I going with this? If it's something else, something that I'm at a point in my life where I don't want to move, I want to stay. But, you know, I've got a daughter and a granddaughter who live very close to me, and I have no desire to move away from them. I have parents, aged parents, as Charles Dickens might have said, who live reasonably close to me. I can get there in an hour or so to see them, which is where where I am right now. Why you're not hearing me on my wonderful computer that gives such great sound. That does do a nice job. I'm instead talking to you on a cell phone, which does do quite as much good job. And it's the reason I can't see your tweets and so forth is because, well, I've gone through this all before. If you find it on the archive someplace, I'm going to go through it all again. I guess the whole point of that is that I want to stay where I am now. And that means possibly, you know, I mentioned this last week, I have been extended on my present job through August. I have no guarantees of anything beyond then. And so I may have to be stepping out someplace else. And when I can find my search just to my city for the time being, I would love to find something that I can get to on the bus so I don't have to burn up all that gas. I'm getting pretty used to only having to use one tank of gas a month. I use most of it to come and see my parents once a month. I use a little bit to see my daughter and my granddaughter every once in a while. So I'm able, have been for quite some time now, since the gas prices spiked over $4 a gallon. I've been pretty successful at staying around the tank a month. The only exception is when I'm doing my filming my football games in the fall, because then I have to go to where the football game is. I'm getting paid for that, although sometimes it is rather close whether I'm actually making any money off of it. Maybe it's all kind of going into the gas tank. But anyway, and that should be coming up too. I have not heard anything from those people. That was kind of a strange thing, because it was taken over by a new outfit last year, and there was kind of strange things that happened. All everything got everything got paid, and they like to have there. And so, yeah, I used to, for the people I used to work for, the game, we put the game on a DVD and just send it to them in the mail. Now we have to upload the game on the internet. It's a little high tech and stuff. And I've talked to when I've had contact with the new people, which isn't very often. But they seem to be kind of snobs about the equipment that you use. You know, they got an email asking for, you know, someone in the area to film a certain event over the spring, and they said you need to have, you know, a very specific kind of camera, not just some, you know, crappy camera. And, you know, I have a crappy camera and I have a crappy tripod. But the thing is, they're not really paying a whole pot of money for us to do this. You know, it's not like I can afford a $2,000 camera. What they pay us, that'd be about 2 years' money. If you deducted out what it took to put gas in the car to get us to those games. So, you know, it's going to be cheap. That's what you're going to get, I think. One of those little funny little things about capitalism. And I say, I know I often use that word in the pejorative, you know, capitalist and capitalism. In its pure form, I have no form of in its pure form, I have no problem with capitalism. You know, it's that people compete, and the ones who do the best job get rewarded with more business, and those who don't get rewarded with no business, you'll get to go back to the drawing board and get better. No problem with that at all. The problem comes in is when people make a bunch of money and then use that money to shield themselves from having to compete anymore, which is what has largely happened in our society. Capitalism has I think, to a great extent, been left behind and has been replaced by a system where those who have already generated a certain amount of money between them and the banks get to call shot. Maya, it is late. It is so late. I really don't want to rail against capitalism tonight. I don't want to end on that kind of negativity. I thought I was going to be building up to a nice positive ending to my, I read my journal entry and some sort of, I have uncertainty, but I have some hope for what's about to happen and the changes are going to happen in my life. And then all of a sudden I got sidetracked on LeBron James and we started talking about capitalism. And just where the heck am I going? I don't know. I don't know where I'm going in my life. I don't know where I'm going to show. Soon the 12:30 bell will ring, and I will be off the hook for another week. Thinking of what I can come here and talk about. You know, one thing I do need to do this weekend, I did promise on Twitter that I was going to put new content on the website. I haven't done that yet, and I'm thinking of one piece about this new office that I'm working in, not new office, my new office, and I'm not sure, and we'll do that tomorrow, and I also want to put up a new piece on Sunday, and I haven't really even thought about what that's going to be about, except it's not going to be about LeBron James. So anyway, I do thank you for joining me. I should have heard my 90-second warning by now. I'm so tortured. Let me go, please, let me go. I must come back here every Friday night, because I've promised you I will. And I don't even know if there's anybody really out there listening. It's such a dilemma. I know that it's a dilemma, and it's just a strange thing that happens. I talk, I send my words out into the atmosphere, and who knows where they're landing, if anywhere. I think what's happened here is that my mother's alarm clock, I'm staying in my mother's house. There it is. Ooh, I'm off the show. You can't hear it, but I get a 90-second warning and then a 60-second warning when the show's about to end. I'm in my mother's room. She gives up her bedroom when I'm here. And she's just one of these people who has her alarm clock set way fast so that she sort of tricks herself into getting up all the time. So anyway, there's the show, for better or for worse. Can't do anything about it now. Please come back next week. Sometime during this week, you'll leave me some messages on Twitter or on my Gmail account telling me the kind of things you'd like me to speak about on the show, and I will certainly do that. One more time, thank you for listening, and good night.